Welcome to episode 8 of the Daily Meditation Podcast. The podcast designed for the encouragement of the believers by short meditation on truths from the Word of God. In today's podcast, we'll be continuing our series by answering the question, what is Calvinism? By going over the second point of Calvinism, unconditional election. So in the last podcast, I said that we would move on to the next verses in Ephesians chapter 2. So that is where I wanted to start today. So let's start out in verse 4, because we ended in verse 3 in the last podcast. So it says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead and our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not in your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So your salvation was a complete work of God. You have nothing to boast in. He prepared this before time began. So what is unconditional election? The Reformed view of election, known as unconditional election, means that God does not foresee any action or condition on our part that induces him to save us. Rather, election rests on God's sovereign decision to save whomever he is pleased to save. A lot of times people use Romans 8:29 to say that God foreknew what people were going to do, and he knew they were going to have faith, so he predestined them. But this is not what the scripture says. It says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. It does not say those he foreknew would come to faith. If he knew they would come to faith, then it wouldn't be because of God predestinating them. It would be because of their free, autonomous act of coming to faith. He knew them, so he predestined them, not because anything they did. Paul addresses this issue in Romans chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. It says, and not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. It is God's purpose and election that will stand. He is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. R.C. Sproul said, God does not foresee an action or condition on our part that induces him to save us. Now, this does not mean there are no conditions for salvation. One must have faith in Christ to be elect, but this is a different issue. God's electing purpose does not give you permission to live however you want. If you are elect, you will live like it. So I want to end this episode reading an excerpt from Ligonier Ministries. It says, unconditional election is another term that I think can be a bit misleading, so I prefer to use the term sovereign election. If God chooses sovereignly to bestow his grace on some sinners and withhold his grace from other sinners, is there any violation of justice in this? Do those who do not receive the gift receive something they do not deserve? Of course not. If God allows these sinners to perish, is he treating them unjustly? Of course not. One group receives grace, the other receives justice. No one receives injustice. Paul anticipates this protest. Is there any injustice on God's part? He asks in Romans 9:14. He answers it with the most emphatic response he can muster. I prefer the translation, God forbid. Nay, genita, by no means. Don't even begin to think about it. Then he goes on to amplify this response. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. Here the apostle is reminding his reader of what Moses declares centuries before, namely that it is God's divine right to execute clemency when and where he desires. He says from the beginning, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. It is not on those who meet some conditions, but on those whom he is pleased to bestow his benefit. So I encourage you guys to do further study on this topic. This doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of the sovereign election of God.